So let's start the very last topic of the course, the very last kind of algorithm. Up to now we have been seeing penalization techniques bundled together with KKT conditions from outside the feasible region. Okay? The idea now is to try to enforce some kind of penalization from the inside of the feasible region. Okay? And in the sense that I want to generate a sequence of feasible points, but exploiting algorithms for unconstrained optimization once again. Okay? So, these kind of algorithms are called, let's say, internal penalization of barrier methods, and they are better suited for problems with inequality constraints only. Okay? What do you do when you also have equality? You can mix together the techniques we have seen now, the method of multiplier, together with the techniques for this kind of problems. Okay? You treat the inequalities in that way, you treat the inequalities in this way. Okay? So these methods are best suited for inequality constraints. I need two additional assumptions with respect to the usual situation. In the usual situation, we have that F and GIs are differentiable, continuously differentiable, or even more. Now I need two assumptions. The first one is that the set, so let's call X the feasible region. Okay? The set of points at which all the inequality constraints are satisfied. So assumption number one, if we consider the so-called strictly feasible points, the points which satisfy all the constraints as a strict inequality, okay, is non-empty. So there exists at least one point F hat at which all the GIs are given. Okay? This is essentially the Slater condition. Okay? And if the GIs are continuous function from a geometrical point of view, it says that the feasible region has an interior point. Okay? So, a line in U2 does not have any interior point, okay? A circle, or something done like this. This has interior points. The second assumption we make is that, let's say it roughly, each point which is not strictly feasible can be approached by a sequence of strictly feasible points. Okay. So, mathematically it reads this way. Whenever you take some feasible point, and whenever you take a positive small epsilon, you can find some point Y strictly feasible, such that the distance between X and Y is less or equal than X. Okay? Each point, clearly this is meaningful only for the points which do not belong to the interior of the feasible region, okay? To this set, because if X belongs here, you take exactly X, Y equals X. Okay? So it's relevant for all the points which are not there. It means the points which are on the border. Okay? So what is the kind of situation I want to avoid? The kind of situation I want to avoid are this one. Suppose my physical region is described this way. It's like something, a circle and a line, okay? An apple, a balloon, okay? If I take the set of strict feasible points, you get this one. Okay? There's no way you can approach this point here by points which belong here. Okay? So assumption two wants to cut away this kind of situations. Okay? Each point of the feasible region can be arbitrarily approached by the interior of the feasible region. Okay? You could prove that if one is true, so if there are strictly feasible points, and the function gi are all convex, then this second assumption, this reachability assumption, is true. Okay? If the constraints are described by convex inequalities, these strange things cannot happen. Okay? So, one plus convexity of the constraining function gives two. For three. The idea of this kind of method is to work on the set of strictly feasible points. Okay? Which exercise shows to be an open set. So the GIs are continuous function. So if they are smaller than zero in a point, they are smaller than zero in a neighborhood of the point. Okay? So for each point here, there is a ball of points around that given point, which satisfies this inequality as well, by continuity. Okay? So, remark that F is open. It's an open set. And this will be extremely relevant. Okay? For what we are trying to do. The idea of the method is to consider a suitable objective function defined on the set of strictly feasible points, okay, that blows up as you approach the border. Okay? Blows up means scopia. Okay? The values become bigger and bigger as you approach the border. Okay? So you are going to use some kind of function which are called barriers. A barrier is a function B defined on the set of strictly feasible points to values in R such that B computed at x goes to plus infinity as x approaches some x bar which belongs to the border of the region. Okay? It's feasible but not strictly feasible. Okay? On my lecture notes, you find also an additional requirement that B is greater or equal than zero. I realize that the examples I'm going to give you now do not have necessarily this property. Okay? And indeed it was a request that they put down when they introduced this type of methods. Okay? and then they realized that you had to modify the best barrier we have had to be modified to be greater or equal than zero, and that was not a good idea. Because the relevant property is just this one. Okay. The values of the barrier blows up as you approach the border of the region. Okay. And this is the reason of the name barrier. Okay. They provide the barrier to the border of the feasible region. There are two barriers which are often used. One is the inverse barrier, and the other one is the logarithmic barrier. The inverse b of x is minus the sum over all i's of 1 over the gi's. Okay? Notice this is not defined where sum of this function is 0. This is not well defined. So clearly we need to be different from 0, and then we take smaller than 0. This is smaller than 0, we have a minus, so this is greater than 0. But as x approaches the border, it means that in this situation, it means that for some I, gi goes to 0. Okay? A feasible point does not belong here if for some i this is 0, and so this is going to 0, and this is going to 0, this is going to infinity, okay? Minus infinity with a minus in front, so to plus infinity, okay? So this barrier has this property. The other one is the logarithmic barrier, which has extremely nice property. This way, it is once again you have to take a minus, and then you take the sum all over the constraint of the logarithm of minus gi. Okay? Minus gi in the strict feasible region is positive, so the logarithm is well defined. And as the argument here goes to 0, this goes to minus infinity, with a minus in front goes to plus infinity. Okay. These are the most used barrier, and the logarithmic barrier is the, let's say, takes a very large part of the literature, okay? It's the most popular, it's the most used. Exercise for you. Suppose that the GIs are convex functions. Okay, they are all convex. Prove that the barrier functions are convex as well. Okay? So if your data are convex, then the barrier is convex. And what is the idea? The idea is the following. I try to minimize f plus some multiple of the barrier over the strict feasible region. Okay. This is the basic idea. I need to explain it a little bit. You have here, let's say, a penalty that is given. If you take this epsilon to be zero, you are minimizing the function on the interior of the physical region, okay? Which is likely to have a solution if the solution is on the border. If the minimum is on the border, this problem will not have any minimum point, but just a minimizing sequence that goes to the optimal value. And so this minimum actually would be a minimum. What happens when I add a barrier? This means that as I approach the feasible region, the border of the feasible region, this objective function blows up to plus infinity. Okay? So the minimum of this function is in the interior. Okay? Doesn't mind, even if I consider border point, this function is going to plus infinity as I'm approaching the border. So, in the neighborhood of the border, in this point, in this area here, this function is too large, and the minimum will be here. Okay? And this magnitude is given by epsilon. Okay? The bigger epsilon is, the larger this is. Clearly, I would like it to be as small as possible. Okay? Why do I solve this? Well, now openness comes into play. Do you remember? Minimizing the minimum of a function of an open set is a stationary point. Okay? So the solution of this problem, which exists because the function is going to plus infinity when I approach the border, is an interior point. And the gradient has to be zero. So, and this is the gradient of f plus epsilon prime, the gradient of the barrier. I'm going to say something partially wrong. I need to find stationary points. I can apply the methods of unconstrained optimization, okay? Because they provide stationary points without taking care of any constraint, okay? The weak part is without taking care of any constraint, because I need to be in this feasible region, okay? But if my initial point is inside the feasible region, okay? And since the function on the border is going to plus infinity, let's say that this red area is where the function is too big. Okay. Any minimization algorithm for unconstrained optimization will keep me inside the feasible region. Okay. Because here I have a barrier. I have built a wall that gives huge values here. Okay. The only trouble you might have is that you take, for instance, a gradient method, and you make a too large step, which takes outside the feasible region. Okay, the logarithmic barrier is not even defined, so you get into a huge mess. The inverse barrier is defined outside the feasible region. Okay, so the only caution you have to take is, okay, I can apply the method for unconstrained optimization, taking care of the step. I must guarantee that the step is not large enough. In practice, this does not happen because these methods are based on local information, and you know that on the border here, the function blows up to plus infinity. Okay? And what's the basic idea? The basic idea is to take a sequence of parameters that decrease to zero. What does it mean? It means that I still have a barrier, but the barrier is smaller and smaller and steeper and steeper. Okay? Centripetal. So this is the the basic idea. I can give you an example. Okay? So we run some number. I can give you two examples actually. Let's first take an example in one variable. And the problem is even simpler than what the one we had before. We want to minimize t, the unique variable, supposing that t is greater or equal than 0. Now that t is greater or equal than 1. Okay, so that 1 minus t is less or equal than 0. This is the problem. Okay? Well, solution is clearly t equal. T is greater or equal than 1, and I want to minimize t, so solution is t equal 1. Okay? Let's try to apply this idea, let's say with the logarithmic barrier. Okay? So, the problem I get is minimize t plus epsilon, and then I have to add, okay, I have a unique constraint, so minus epsilon, the logarithm of minus g, which is t minus 1. Okay. And I want to minimize, let's say, on t greater the interior of the physical region. Or if you want to write in the same language we had before, 1 minus t smaller. How do I solve this problem? I know that the gradient, the derivative, is a function of one variable, has to be zero. Okay? So I compute the derivative of this. Okay? So I want to compute, let's call this f of t. I want to compute the point at which f prime is zero. Okay? So, what is it? Okay, the derivative of t is 1, the derivative minus epsilon, the derivative of the logarithm is 1 over the argument, so it's t minus 1, and then I have to take the derivative of the argument, but the derivative of the argument is 1, okay? So, this is the derivative, and this is 0, if and only if t is equal to 1 plus epsilon. Correct? If you put 1 plus epsilon here, you get epsilon over epsilon. Okay. So, 1 plus t, 1 plus epsilon is greater than 1 and is the solution of this problem. So when we solve this problem we get, let's say the solution t of epsilon, the solution of this problem is 1 plus epsilon, and as epsilon goes to 0, this goes to 1, and 1 is the solution of our problem. Okay? We could run, okay, an exercise for you. You have it on my notes. The two-dimensional example. It's once again very simple. We want to minimize one half of the square of the number. Okay, and the constraint, it's a unique constraint, and is 2 minus x1 less or equal than 0. Okay. First part of exercise, this is a convex problem, so you can get the optimal solution through the KKT condition. Okay. Compute the KKT condition for this problem, and you will get that the optimal solution x bar is 2, 0, and the multiplier of the inequality constraint is lambda equals 2. Okay, so first part of the exercise. You get a system of two trivial equations plus the complementarity constraint. The system is extremely trivial. One of the two equations in the system says x2 has to be equal to 0. Okay? And the other says that x1 has to be equal to lambda, and then lambda times 2 minus x1 has to be 0. So it's very simple. The exercise for you is apply the logarithmic barrier so that you move to this other problem. Minimize the same logarithmic function you have minus epsilon the logarithm of x1 minus 2, and you minimize over x1 greater than 2. How do you solve this problem? You solve it, this is a function of two variables. You simply ask for the gradient of this to be 0. Okay? You will come up with two solutions, but take care of this. Okay? One solution will not satisfy this constraint. Okay? And so you will get the solution. I give you the result. The result is 1 plus the square root of 1. Okay? The solution of this problem is this vector here. Okay? Try, you compute the gradient, and you get two equations, and the results are x2 equals 0 and x1 equals 1 plus the square root of 1 plus epsilon. As epsilon goes to 0, this goes to 0. Okay? If you want, I can give you a third simple exercise. In one variable, minimize, rather than t, minimize t squared over t greater or equal than 1. Okay. It was the problem we solved with the external penalization techniques. You can try this with both barriers, and you see what happens. Okay. Did I make any mistake? Yes.
Why? Huh? You separate only each one component because we have in the constraint. Okay? So in this problem, x2, the variable x2 does not appear in the constraint. Okay?
You have to make this for the constraints you have, and the function g of x does not depend on the second component of x. Okay? I did it this way because then the computation is simple. Okay? Otherwise, you could have put here also minus x2, but then the computation gets a bit more difficult. Okay? It's just to give you a very, very, very simple example. So, it's almost time. What are we going to do with this? I can quote you the result. Solve this problem for some epsilon k. You get a solution, xk, which belongs to the interior of the physical region. Okay? Then choose a sequence such that epsilon k goes to zero. You get a sequence xk. You can prove that any cluster point of this sequence is a minimum of the original problem. Okay? Once again, I'm speaking about global minima. Okay? So this stuff works well when we are dealing with convex problems. Okay? The plan for Thursday is to show how one of these two cases, the one with the logarithmic barrier, is strictly connected to Kerr-Schumacher condition, to KKT conditions. Okay? I'll show you that, and I'll tell you how you can apply it in linear programming. Okay? Linear programming is where you started in the operation research course, and it's where we are going to end on Thursday. I will show you the idea of modern algorithms for linear programming. When you use solvers for linear programming, nowadays they generally don't use the simplex unless the problem is of huge dimension. They are going to use methods based on this idea. Okay? So this is the plan for Thursday. Okay?